Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. I am Ann Ortley, an astrologer down here on Boca Ciega Bay in Florida, and I am joined tonight by my friend Mark. I see you out there on the internet, Mr. Mark. Mark? I don't hear you. All right. You're not, your audio's. Oh, there you go. Nope. Audio on. Okay. It is Mercury in his retrograde shadow. Mark, I did call on you, so we'll try uncalling on you and calling on you again and seeing if we can get you in for audio. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now, Mark? Okay. Not talking. All right. Well, forward we go. And hopefully Mark can get his tech figured out. Maybe go out and come back in. Mercury is on its retrograde shadow today. So he enters his shadow for the upcoming retrograde over the next few weeks, and then he stations to go retrograde on April 1st. He goes retrograde direct on the 25th of April, and then he goes forward and clears his retrograde shadow May 13th, I think, and then 15th he goes into Taurus. So we're going to start paying attention to Mercury. Today he is conjunct Chiron, which is always gives him a little kick, a little dance, a little song, a little technology malfunction. Still not hearing from Mark, but hopefully he can,
Hello?
There you go. Okay, there you are. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah, that's good. Can you hear me?
Okay, good. Yes, I hear
good.
You now. Hello, Ann.
Okay. Hi, Mark. Welcome. Where are
there
you calling
are on Boca Ciega Bay. And
I'm on Boca Ciega Bay, and it's a rainy night. It's a rainy night. We had thunderstorms. Ooh, all good.
Okay. At least it's not hurricanes.
Yeah, not hurricanes. Thunderstorms with big lightning and thunder and lots of rain. It's all good.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah, it'll make the pollen settle down, which is always helpful. A lot of oak tree pollen these days. So the oak trees are trying to fertilize other oak trees. So
yeah,
it's a good thing. Yeah. So, and what did you notice about today's energy with Mercury? So anyway, Mercury is on the world point. We're also going to have Venus meet up with Saturn and Mars entering Pisces, which is all about a shift when Mars goes into Pisces. All the Aries planets get different. You know, they kind of go flowy. But we're going to have the Sun enter Aries, which is da-da! And then Mercury entering his shadow. Also, at the end of the week on Sunday, we are going to have Saturn entering his upcoming retrograde shadow when he gets to 1251. So right now, Saturn's finishing things up, done. And the stuff that happens after Sunday is negotiable, because Saturn's going to go forward to 19 and retrograde back to 12 in November and then go forward and finish it up in February. So this is the time to get things up and rolling while Saturn's in this little patch of sky through Sunday. So what did you notice about the week ahead?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Saturn in Pisces is a little out of what we usually think of with Saturn or with Pisces. There's a real constriction on Pisces with Saturn there.
Yes.
And we're used to thinking of Pisces being very expansive, including everyone and everything. And Saturn says, not so fast. Got to have some rules here.
And
it's interesting that Venus is conjuncting on Thursday, just before Saturn goes into that shadow.
Yeah.
So Venus
and that conjunction happens every year, so it's kind of a big deal, you know, when it has that aspect, yeah.
And with the sun just fresh in Aries, it's going to be kind of a speed up and go slow sort of energy.
Yes. Yeah. And then when Mars enters Pisces, he goes, oh, I just dove from this really high cliff that I've been surveying everything, And now I'm in Pisces, so I'm going to take everything really emotional and personal. I'm going to be very sensitive, maybe a little sneaky peeky, because Mars is in the sign of the fish. So he swims in and he swims away. But also when Mars is in Pisces, I always think of when I used to snorkel, you know, on the rough days, there were no fish by the coral reefs because they didn't want to get thrown against the rock and have their little, they have that mucous membrane on the outside of them. They didn't want to have that scraped off because then they were prone to infection. So when it was rough, the fish would swim away. And so Pisces, we're going to have it in Pisces for 2 months, which is always an energy of, okay, let's swim away and go do something else. So it's an interesting time. So, yeah.
Good time to be fishing.
Good time for what? Say again, you broke up a little.
Go.
Yeah, you broke up a little again. Computers. Yeah, try it one more time. You broke. It might be me. Everybody else might be hearing you clearly, but you broke up on my end. What was it?
Mars in Pisces reminds me of spear fishing.
Yes. Yeah. That point of the arrow. Right.
Yeah.
When you see people with it, how do you see them experience taking action? Because we're all going to have honorary Mars and Pisces for the next 2 months, right? We're all going to learn how Mars and Pisces really feel. Yeah.
Yeah. So think of that spearfishing. You have to be prepared. You have to be loaded. You have to be ready. And when it's just right, you pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot in the preparation that we don't always think of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then this will encourage us to take advantage of that and be prepared. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's also in the sky a minor grand trine. Not that we don't have enough with the sun entering Aries going across the equator too. And so when that happens, the sun, now the days in the north are going to be getting a minute longer than the nights, but also we have that energy of in the southern hemisphere, their days will be getting a minute shorter than the nights. The nights will be a minute longer. We're heading towards the Cancer solstice, you know, when the sun gets as high as it travels on Earth. So we're kind of at that middle point. And so with the equinox, yeah, I always like to balance an egg about 20 minutes before and after. Because the egg, you know, because normally the gravitational pull, the egg tips over one side or the other. And with this, they stay up. Kind of cool. Although I had somebody once write to me and complain that he was able to do it himself, keeping it that way, you know, like it could balance. I'm like, because he let the yolk sit to the bottom. I'm like, well, okay, fine, but you got to sit there and hold the egg for like an hour and a half to get it to do it. This is like you can put it there and it stays. You know, it was just one of those people that like to argue. So, which is all good. It's all good because Mars going into leaving Aquarius, going into Pisces, people are not going to be in the mood to argue anymore. They're just going to swim away. Or in your analogy with the spearfishing, they're going to aim and shoot it and catch the fish. But it's going to be, you know, more calculated, I guess, with spear fishing, yes?
Yeah. And actually, this equinox chart is continuing this theme that we have with the planets all being on one side of the chart.
Yeah.
You have the moon over there in 3 Leo, opposite Pluto, and then everything else is over on that side of the chart.
Which is kind of a big deal. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's really kind of unbalanced. So we're doing a balancing an egg, but the energy of this chart is unbalanced.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the moon, as she goes out, you know, to form the full moon, as she's heading off to be in a full moon in a couple of days, well, at the end on Monday next week, But there's, you know, the moon will be the only thing over on that other side of the chart. The rest of them are all hanging in a little clump, which is always kind of interesting because clumps, I find when the planets are all in a clump, it allows you to really focus on things and get stuff accomplished because there's the energies are all kind of hanging out, like working together. It's kind of like a big, let's come paint the party. Let's come clean up the town. Because they're so connected and so communicating with each other. What do you do when you see a client? When you see... Yep, say again.
It's one big party.
One big party, yeah. And so they're kind of busy, and they're calling and saying, yeah. Now, the Venus, the Sun in Aries, right after it goes into Aries, because Pluto's still low, he's at one... Aquarius, that Sun sextile Pluto is also a powerful aspect, and it is it's an opening sextile, meaning it's carrying, it's, you know, the Sun and Pluto met up, not in Aquarius. They met up at that last degree of Capricorn in January 20th, right before the Sun went into Aquarius, and then behind it Pluto did. So next year, Sun and Pluto meet up in Aquarius. So right now, even though Pluto's in Aquarius, Sun is still finishing up Pluto and Capricorn's work. So you're going to be feeling like, okay, there's some last stuff I need to wrap up. Remember, Pluto went into Capricorn in 2008. And so he's got to, you know, he spends 4 months this fall at 29 Capricorn. So this is triggering the stuff we're going to be working on in the fall, because the Sun today at the last degrees of Pisces is sextiling that Sun-Pluto conjunction that we had like January 19th. So if you notice stuff from January coming forward and saying, hey, pay attention to me, that's why, because they're all, the gang is kind of piping up and talking and saying, hey, we need a little attention and stuff to do here. So it's an interesting energy, because even though Pluto's in Aquarius, he's like, well, you know, you still have that stuff from Capricorn to finish. And you're like, okay. And then Venus meeting Saturn, I mean, I have that. So I always have big hoo-ha happen when that happens. And I've been making, you know, my phone has been, you know, it's been updating things and going, your iOS is way too old. And I'm like, you know, I bought a little speaker for my stereo system. Like, your iOS is too old. I really don't want to upgrade my phone on a Mercury retrograde. So I need to get my little butt moving on this. So, but yeah, the energy is, you know, back up your computers, pay attention. You're going to hear from people you haven't heard from in a while. I had a few people already write me, because with the Aries Mercury, they tend to show up a little earlier, right? Then, you know, because Aries is always early, right? So I've already had a couple people from my past go, hey, I haven't heard from you in a while. I'm like, hi, how are you? So that's also part of it, you know? It's kind of be a busy week is what we say, as we're also leading up to the eclipses. So let's talk a little bit about the eclipses, Mark. What did you notice about them coming? Because we're in eclipse season now.
Right. Yeah. And it's that same energy of the clumping, and it's even tighter in the eclipse chart, because you have, in Pisces, you have Mars, Saturn, Venus, and Neptune all together pulling a lot of weight over to that side of the sky, and emphasizing Pisces. So I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of Pisces energy with this eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a watershed moment for a lot of things that need to be righted, that are out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
It'll become glaring, intolerable, you could say.
Right. And wanting to bring them back into balance and help them be less suffering, you know. There's a desire for less suffering. And I guess I was watching, you know, Pisces is also refugees, And a lot of times when there's war, people migrating because of war, not being safe. And so there was a, I don't remember what channel it was, but they were talking about, you know, 12,600 children have been killed in Gaza. And normally it's about 2,000 to 3,000 kids killed a year during war, which is unacceptable anyway, but that's 2,000 to 3,000 killed a year, and this is 12,000 in a few months, you know, since October. So the toll, the suffering, I guess that's probably the best way, because Pisces a lot of times is refugees and people that are entrapped or, you know, held captive on some level and are suffering. So we're going to watch for those when these aspects
the
happen.
The moon will be in Libra.
The moon will be in Libra, right.
In
and
Libra.
Yeah. Answering to the Mars, right? But or answering to the Sun in Aries. What Mars by that point will be in Pisces. So a lot of times when this happens, missing people are found. You know, people that went missing and they've been missing for 14 years or 20 years, or you know, they surface. They solve old murders because these are victims. Pisces is victims, so. I would anticipate, you know, I've been waiting for the Gilgo Beach murderer guy, you know, the one that killed, that they arrested last. Yeah, I've been waiting because there should be a part two to that on these eclipses. So we'll see if the Gilgo Beach stuff kicks up. And again, it's a lot of times it's a, you know, it's a missing persons or finding people that have been abducted or, you know, gone missing in terms of their story. And usually they're pretty high profile, where the universe, everybody kind of paid attention to stuff. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see what.
We'll see those things come up.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, I always, there was a point in time when I was having a big Mars-Pluto aspect by progression, and I did a lot of work with abducted, you know, they had the kids' date. It was People Magazine, I think. They had the kids' birthdays, and then they had the day of abduction or when they went missing. And so, you know, it was like kind of going through and looking at those stories, you know, and the aspects to the kids' chart. So it's kind of an interesting energy. And with Mars going into Pisces, he is going to be coming up to semi-sextile, not right away, but in a couple days. After he goes into Pisces, he's going to be in a semi-sextile to Pluto, which means he's like, okay, we can be released from the underworld, or we can be released. So that's also positive because semi-sextiles are, they escape and they run away. So it'll be curious to see how that lays out. Yeah. The other thing in the sky to pay attention to is there's a minor, we don't often talk on this show about asteroids, but there's a minor grand trine in Earth, lower Earth. So Jupiter's on a world point at 14 and a half. Ceres is on a in Capricorn on in Earth at 12, almost 13. And Juno is at 10, Virgo, going backwards. So there's a grand trine in Earth between them. And Saturn and Venus, Saturn already, is forming a kite to those guys, to the grand trine in Earth. So he's going to take you sailing in a new direction. And then when Venus meets up with him this week, she's going to form a kite with that grand trine in Earth. So it's an excellent, what's the right word? Excellent aspects for getting things accomplished and done in a real forward motion way, because the grand trine in Earth wants to make it manifest. And the Saturn and Venus is the apex of the kite, the part that does the flying, will really kind of pull everything forward. So we have that. It's been in place last week. It'll be in place this week. But it's nice to look at because the because Jupiter's on a world point, and, of course, the Sun will be on a world point, and Pallas Athena is. So that usually means big news in the world. Always good to know when you're going to have a big news week, because you can make a little space in your life for it. And we're also going to have Mercury come and hit that north node this week in Aries. So as he comes and whacks the north node, he's stimulating last fall's eclipses. He's also stimulating the stuff that went down mid-January when Mars was Mars was activating that eclipse point, and then he's getting us ready for the upcoming eclipse. So it's a lot of hoo-ha in the heavens this week. So we go, okay, it's a hoo-ha week.
Yeah.
It always makes us go, a lot of hoo-ha, a lot of hoo-ha. All right, so let me, where is my Blog Talk Radio thing? Hang on. Oh, there it is. I opened a new browser window for it. All right, so you want to take some calls?
Yeah, let's take some callers. Who's out there?
Okay, cool. Let's see who's out there. All right, we got, we're going to go for 202-281. You're on the air. Hi.
Yay. Hi, Ann. Hi, Mark.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. So it's March 5th, 1980.
Okay. What time?
1:29 a.m.
Okay. Location?
Philadelphia, PA.
Philly, PA. All right. And what's your question tonight?
So I have been out of work for a while and just in financial strains for a while, probably I would say about close to a year. And I am just wondering, like, if what y'all see, I know I have Saturn coming up to my Sun and Mercury. I'm hoping that means I will be working and not that things will get worse. I also know I have an eclipse coming up on my midheaven, but it's just been a really tough time, and I want to work. Like, I would love to work.
Okay, and what kind of work are you looking for?
So I'm a video editor, and after the strike, like, my industry has been, you know, there's a lot of layoffs and things like that in media in particular. On the side, I'm doing some kind of astrology media kind of podcast stuff. But that's going to take, like, a little bit. Right now I'm looking to just, you know, bring in some funds.
Okay. Well, the eclipse is definitely on your angle because your midheaven is 5 Libra, which is the degree of the eclipse. So what was going on September 23rd, 24th of 2022? Because we know last year when it was in Gemini was the strike. What was going on for you back in September of 2022?
I would have to look it up. I think, you know, my Mercury is in Pisces. I can't think about it offhand of what was going on. I'm sorry. I don't know offhand. But I can look it up after this.
Well, your progressed Mercury right now is at 524 Aries. So it's going to get the eclipse on it, too. And Mercury does rule your workhouse and your seventh house of relating to other people. So either working in as an employee or working as a working partner. You're also going to have your progressed moon come to the Venus in a month and a half. And that's always helpful because that kind of that progressed moon to Venus goes over the Venus as of May 13th of this year. And then right behind it, you're going to have the Sun-Venus midpoint on June 3rd, which starts a new 4-year or 8-year work cycle. So I think you definitely get work by June. I'm not so worried about the Saturn on your Sun because it's going to go over it 3 times. So that may be you coming, you know, because it goes from 12 to 19 and then back again. So it's going to activate your Sun, your Mercury, and your Athena 3 times, so that's okay. I have a new strategy. But now that your progressed Mercury is in Aries, because you were born with the retrograde Mercury too, but it's now in new territory. So that's really helpful. And the nodes are in career house for you. They're in your fourth and tenth. So I think that we're getting a little feedback. Maybe drop your volume or something.
Right.
Yeah. And your progress. No, it's not a problem. It's just noise. You're also your
progress.
Yeah, definitely. Just for your Venus. right? Your progressed sun just went over your Venus, which is a good sign because the sun rules the north node. What have you done for your own personal creativity? Where you felt like you're able to be creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got an idea for like this astrology podcast that I want to do. And actually, I'm really super excited about it, where I'm just interviewing astrologers. It's going to be kind of focused on pop culture stuff. So I actually got really excited, got a ton of ideas about it and did some writing and things like that. I just need to kind of like hook up with astrologers and like tape it or whatever. And I have my editing background. So I know exactly what I want it to look like, et cetera. So that was beautiful. Really, really exciting. And I am in school also studying astrology. It's a school Tony Howard has. It's like an online school, but I found like a talent for writing about astrology, and I was like shocked, you know, that I was like, whoa, this is actually fun, you know?
Yeah.
So I had an awakening in that area, which was pretty cool.
So that may be bringing that into fruition. Yeah. Mark, what do you notice?
That progressed sun on the natal Venus is definitely showing up in that project. So go with that and just keep your energy out there. And that's like a big party anyway, you know, meeting a bunch of astrologers, and you're kind of bringing them all into the same party, even though they won't be in the same room. You know, your job is to use media to connect them. That's definitely.
It's like a big party for me, like, but it's my love language, and, you know, and with the landscape of everything kind of changing in media, you know, it's not really about creative anymore. It's about, like, the money guys are the ones in charge now. And it's not about, you know, I'm a Pisces, so I really want it to be beautiful. And it's just kind of turning into a factory situation. And, you know, I don't really want to be a part of that. I would rather have some love in it or some heart in it, you know. So we'll see. And I'm waiting on, I had a second interview for this position, and I'm wondering if the eclipse, I've read certain things that make it sound like it's going to take something out. I've read certain things that are going to be like, that's like, oh, it's going to be great for you. Like I read something Susan Miller sounded positive. So I don't know if y'all have any thoughts on that.
Well, that
usually
was,
it's positive in the long run. Yeah. In the moment, it feels like something's taken away. And there's usually a resistance. So expect that you'll feel that, you'll feel a letdown, but it's making room for something new, especially if you don't, like, really resist it.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And that's why I asked about the fall of 2022, because that was a new moon on your midheaven. And then the opening square last year was the writer's strike. So now the full moon is the sun in the bottom on your Mercury saying, okay. And you've got really, you know, with the planets in 3 and 9 and all the Libra planets, the Pluto moon, those are really good aspects for writing. So it may be taking you in that direction. The second eclipse, the one that happens on the 8th of April, that is the eclipse that takes away things. So that one is like, boom, that's done. And that's forming a hard aspect to your, it's forming a finger of God, actually, to your progressed Saturn and your progressed midheaven. So that kind of says, okay, this is the direction I'm heading in. And again, in the fourth house. So, you know, what's the foundation you're putting in? So also think back on what you were doing in 05, 2005, and 1986. You were little, but your parents were going through a change then. Yeah. But if you go back and look at your calendar or even your pictures from
I usually go in my email. That helps me.
Go look at that and see what seeded or what ideas came in back then, because those want to go out in the world. You know?
Okay.
So it's a good and a bad thing, you know, to your extent. The progressed sun on your Venus also says you're ending a 360-year cycle, which is huge. In terms of your work, your career direction, your creativity, and what you do on your daily stuff, all the Libra planets and the Libra ruled planets. So that's a biggie, because that's got a huge, you know, wrap up. Okay, we're finished here. Let's go forward in a new way. So that's the sun on the Venus. And that happened like 4 months ago. So back to what was going on in December, you might have been like, well, maybe even though the writers are all back, maybe the industry's focus is going to be shifting, you know? So
that
is your focus in the industry. Yeah. So it looks good. So fingers crossed you get some good news on the job interview. Because you're ready.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm ready. I want to work. Thank you both. This is like such a beautiful service that y'all do. I've been listening to you since I moved to New York in 2007. And I just want to thank you both. Like, y'all are like my friends in my mind. I know you don't know me, but I just think it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing that you do. Truly.
Yeah. Well, it's we love astrology and we think everybody should learn it. I think everybody should learn it in first grade, like math or reading. So my personal, it makes the world easier. It's like, okay, this is your to-do list. Let's go. So it's good. But I'm glad you like it and thank you. And we'll mosey on. We'll wish everybody a good eclipse. Remember to hang tight, put on your shield, you know, put on your helmet, get ready. We're going into the eclipse season. The eclipses are coming. The eclipses are coming. And I'm Ann Ortley signing off from Boca Ciega Bay. And Mark?
Mark?
Got audio stuff again. Yeah. It's Mercury in shadow. There you go. Okay, you came back in again. Yep, that's good. Say it again.
Mark Waltz signing off. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Good. Okay.
Oh, now you can. Okay. All right. I'm over here by the Hudson River.
Mm-hmm.
And spring is coming.
Yeah. Technology is our friend. You just have to do a lot of it with the Mercury and Aries. All right. Bye, everybody. Have a great week.
Okay, bye now.